I'm here representing the Alliance for Responsible Trade. We're a coalition of 35 organizations here in the United States representing about 14 million people. We're the U.S. counterpart of the Hemispheric Social Alliance, which is a network of networks. Nearly every country in the hemisphere, all 34 countries, have a counterpart of the Hemispheric Social Alliance in their country. And we represent about 65 million people altogether throughout the hemisphere. And we're opposed to the free trade area of the Americas. We were opposed to NAFTA, but we're not only standing in opposition, we offer alternatives. I'd like to start by trying to put the whole debate around fair trade into a context. There's a system that has been the predominant social, economic, political, and cultural system in our world, at least for our generation, for the past 25 years. In the United States, we usually call it corporate-centered globalization. In most of Latin America, it's called neoliberalism. I usually refer to it as the biggest ripoff in the history of humankind, the biggest redistribution of wealth from the south to the north, from the poor to the rich, that we've seen in the history of humankind. And it doesn't have any precedent. But I'd like to focus for a couple of minutes in international rules and regulations. There has to be a set of understandings between governments and among corporations about how this whole system is going to work. And those rules and regulations have to be, in order for this system to work, those rules and regulations, those agreements between governments and between corporations have to be at some level uniform. And that's where we see things like the NAFTA Accords, North America Free Trade Agreement. We see things like the World Trade Organization. If you take a look at any two governments in the world, and I just happen to pick the United States and Mexico here, but you could pick any two governments in the world. If you symbolize the country as a triangle with the richest 1 or 2 or 3% of the population up here and the rest of the people down here, these two groups in Mexico and the United States, and you can pick any country, have more in common with each other than they do with the rest of the people in their country. These two groups here have alliances that are class alliances. And it's often called the Washington Consensus, sort of misnamed the Washington Consensus, because it's a class consensus across borders. It's a class consensus that makes this group and this group rich at the expense of this group and this group. So we can say that part of this process of globalization is the globalization of class, is the development of this class consensus. That this neoliberal model, this corporate globalization model, is getting these two groups very rich and leaving the rest of us in both countries very poor. And that's where the FTAA comes in. The FTAA is part of this whole structure of agreements between the wealthy and the corporate elites and the government officials who have been bought by them. There are a number of elements of the FTAA that we're going to hear about in a couple of minutes from the other speakers, but I'd like to talk about what I consider the most fundamental one, the most problematic. And that's the threat to democracy. Democracy is fundamental. The ability of us to order our own lives is fundamental. And these trade agreements, and in particular the FTAA, is going to take away democratic rights that sometimes it's taken us generations to win. And I'll give just a couple of examples. Under the NAFTA Accords, there's a thing called Chapter 11. It allows for the first time U.S. corporations to sue governments. And we've seen this happen in a number of cases, and it has resulted in laws being overturned that were meant to protect us. A good example, there was a recent case filed where the UPS is going to be suing the Canadian government under the NAFTA Accords because they don't want to have to compete, or they want to be able to compete with the Canadian postal system. Now, what this is going to mean is that the UPS wants to move into Canada, take over all of the suburban routes, and leave the inner city and rural routes for the Canadian government to deal with, because they're the most expensive routes. They're the routes that you can't make any money on. The Canadian system is set up so that everybody gets equal postal treatment. But the UPS wants to set it up so that they can do what's called cherry picking, so that they can pick particular parts of the system, get rich off of it, and then leave the rest to the government. Now, this could very well happen to a number of different things. For example, education, healthcare, water, public utilities, things like public transportation. All these things are up for grabs under the FTAA. We've seen a couple of examples where environmental regulations have been threatened, and I think Sarah is going to talk about the environmental regulations. But all of these are fundamental threats to our democracy. And this to me, is the scariest part about the FTAA, that corporations are being endowed with these rights, and they're being taken away from us. Margaret Thatcher was the mother, and Ronald Reagan the father, of this whole corporate-centered neoliberal model. And Margaret Thatcher said back 25 years ago, she gave us TINA. There is no alternative. And the U.S. government and the British government and a number of other governments have been spending money like crazy to convince us that that's the case for 25 years now. Last year, in the U.S. economy, $1 out of every six was spent on propaganda to convince us of TINA. To TINA, I say ta-ta. There are thousands of alternatives. And those alternatives are being built. Those alternatives are being built right now, whether it be cooperatives in the United States, whether there are a number of, I understand, small consumer cooperatives here in Burlington, whether it be the Zapatista Rebellion, whether it be the rebellion of indigenous groups in Ecuador. This ta-ta is being built all over the world. This whole neoliberal system is based on five fundamental values. And I think that they're values that I don't think most of us in this room would agree with. The values include competition, putting everybody in competition with each other, and the top dog wins and everybody else loses. Individualism. Individualism is kind of like our second religion in this country, maybe our first religion. Consumerism. Consumerism is the machine that makes this system run. Concentration of wealth, and we've seen that over the past 20 years, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting screwed. And concentration of power. And I would like to suggest that any kind of alternative that we build would have five alternative values. Instead of competition, we need to look towards solidarity. Instead of individualism, we need to look toward collectivism. Instead of consumerism, we need to take into consideration environmentalism. Instead of concentration of wealth, an equitable distribution of wealth. And instead of concentration of power, and again, this is the most fundamental of all because it determines how we build everything else, genuine grassroots democracy.